Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
And we're only gonna bring this to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in today. Andrea Roberts is a proud mom of a six-year-old boy named Reese. And Reese was born with, he was diagnosed with Down syndrome, which many of us refer to DS. Andrea advocates for not only her son, but also Down syndrome kids around the world. Ms. Roberts is the founder of Reese's Rainbow, and she joins us today to share her story. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm just excited to be here and glad for the opportunity to share Reese's Rainbow with your listeners.
Oh, thank you. Well, I want to go ahead and get started, and I want to ask, when was Reese diagnosed with Down syndrome? Was it before or after birth?
It was after birth.
Okay.
Yep.
And when you found out that he had Down syndrome, were you aware of what Down syndrome was prior to his birth?
We knew what Down syndrome was. It wasn't a brand new term to us. When I was pregnant with Reese, my AFP was normal.
Okay.
It was not elevated. I was only 28 at the time. He did not have a heart condition that might have tipped doctors off early, prenatally in a sonogram. So I don't even think that they were looking for it. And they didn't even tell us that he had Downs until the morning after he was born. He looks very much like my husband. My husband has small almond-shaped eyes, and so when Reese was born that way, we just said, oh, he looks like Daddy. And, of course, when they came in to tell us the next day, we were like, oh, but look at Daddy.
Right.
but you know, that kind of thing. So,
right, right.
We had heard about Down syndrome, and obviously it took us a little while to let what the doctor had said sink in.
So what was your initial reaction?
I hate to admit it. I think that most parents would feel it too, but I think that the first thing I was thinking was, I want more for him than just to work at a grocery store.
Right.
I think a lot of parents would be afraid to admit that they ever felt that way, but, you see a lot of people with Down syndrome working in grocery stores, and, before I had Reese, it was more like, oh, gosh, that's all that they can do, and now it's more like, oh, gosh, they really enjoy working with people.
Right.
They want to be doing that. There's so many other things that they can be doing, so, it's definitely been a growing and a learning process. From that initial moment to now.
So from that initial reaction, and did you go through a grieving? Would you say it was more like a grieving period?
I would. I don't think that grief ever entirely goes away, not for anybody. It's never going to come a day when I wake up and say, gosh, I'm so glad Reese has all the challenges that he does. It's definitely been replaced now by constant motion. Reese is very active. He's almost exhausting sometimes, just to try to keep up with him. But that grief is kind of replaced with pride. and a 24/7 sense of advocacy. I don't think, you know, even every time we step out the door, you know, it could either be an opportunity for me to hide Reese under my wing and not let the world see him for what he really is, or to get out there and say, look how good looking my kid is, and look what a difference he's made in the world, and look how many people's lives he has touched and hearts he has touched. So, you know, it's everybody's got bad days at home, you know, kids that aren't, you know, kids are kids. But,
right.
You know, on the whole, you know, you kind of get past the grieving part and just move on and live your life and be the best parent that you can for your child.
How would you say you move from that to where you are now?
That all takes time and God.
Yeah, okay.
And there is really not a whole lot that anybody can do to rush that process, because I think a lot has to do with, one, whether you knew about it beforehand. Number two, if you had other children. I have found in my counseling of families in the Atlanta area that birth families who had children prior to the birth of their child with Down syndrome were just so much better prepared just to parent in general. And they had already gone through, you know, the raising of children. I mean, when Reese was born, he was my first child. So, you know, I was slammed with the whole new parent and Down syndrome thing all at one time. And so that was really hard. I think that's got a lot to do with how long the grieving process takes, too. But it's, you know, it's hard in the very beginning for birth families to want to reach out. You know, part of them wants to know everything they can, and the other part of them wants to, you know, just kind of curl up in a ball and say, no, please, God, this isn't really happening. And, you know, it's you know, your faith has a lot to do with it. Where people are in their walk with God has a lot to do with it. And even for families who are not really strong in their faith, I can say from personal experience that this draws you closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can say that too.
Mm-hmm.
You've been advocating for some years now.
Mm-hmm.
What motivated you to start advocating, and how did you get started?
Reese was born at Northside Hospital in 2002, and the nurse who attended us was just wonderful, and we actually remained in contact with her throughout his life. You know, I'd email her pictures, and she, you know, actually came to one of his birthday parties. I mean, she just felt very connected to him when he was born. And in 2004, she was working on a community outreach project at the hospital there where she was still working, and invited me to come down there and visit with a new family who had just given birth to another baby with Down syndrome. And, you know, Reese was almost two at that time, and, you know, I was still grieving. There was still a lot of grieving even after 2 years, but this was just such an amazing opportunity for me to try to step outside of that and to use what I had learned and where I had come from to help another family who was living the same grief that I had lived. And so that's why I started doing that, and she named it Reese's Rainbow. That was the project name down at Northside Hospital, and I would go down anytime there was a new family with a baby with Downs. They would just call me here at home, and I would call the family in their room and offer to come down to the hospital and visit with them while they were still in the hospital. And that was a really powerful, I wish I had had somebody like that other than just the doctor,
right,
come in and say, it's going to be okay. Well, no offense to all the OBs and GYNs out there, but you don't know.
Right,
unless
right.
you've lived this, unless you have raised a child with Down syndrome, another special need, you really can't say that. And so it was really powerful for these families to have somebody who had actually lived it come in and say to them, it is going to be okay.
Right.
And I've sat in that hospital bed, and I've listened to that diagnosis, and I know how you're feeling. And it was a really great opportunity to not just hand them the packet from DSAA, which is very comprehensive, but to deliver that information personally to them and to bring
yeah.
pictures of Reese and to share him with them and to tell them about Medicaid and the early intervention programs and, you know, all the things that Reese can do and that their child will do. Instead of, you know, just leaving the hospital feeling like you're totally alone and oh, God, what do we do now? So that's kind of where that started. But about a year or two after that, the HIPAA laws really kicked in, and I was just no longer able to visit with the families in the hospital. So, you know, I had all this time and experience now working with birth families, and so it just kind of grew into the next step for Reese's Rainbow.
Which is my next question.
Mm-hmm.
You started, as you just mentioned, Reese's Rainbow, where you went into the hospitals and you were reaching out to families and that have kids with Down syndrome. What is, you're still running Reese's Rainbow. What is the organization about now?
Reese's Rainbow now is an international Down syndrome adoption ministry. And we promote and facilitate the international adoption of children with Down syndrome exclusively. We raise donations as adoption grant funds so that American families can afford the high cost of adopting these children from abroad and saving them from life and death in a mental institution overseas.
Wow. As many people, many of the listeners know, my son, my youngest of two, Zion, and also Reese is both the same age, 6. And I've learned a lot from Zion in a short period of time, and God has showed me a lot through him. My question is, over the years, what has Reese taught you?
I'd have to say the biggest thing that Reese has taught me is that it isn't about me, that my life is not about me, that this life is not about us as individuals or parents or, you know, you growing up, you know, from in our own lives, you know, as a child and a teenager and go through college. I mean, you just have a vision of what your life is going to be like. And most of the time, God kind of drops one on you in some way or another, you know, and Reese was my gift.
Right.
And, you know, it, in the beginning, it doesn't feel like so much of a gift, but now it's very much so. And he has, you know, made it possible for me to stay home with Reese and to be home with him full time. But God has also, you know, made it possible through Reese to show me what the rest of the world is really living like.
Uh-huh.
And to not... I guess just to not think, well, gee, what about me?
Right.
Or why me?
Right.
Because it's not about me. It's about, you know, Reese was put in my life for a particular purpose, and God is showing me that purpose through this Down syndrome adoption ministry. And God only knows what there is down the road. You know, Reese has already proven to be quite inspirational and quite a catalyst for change in a lot of people, not just those who adopt others with Down syndrome, but just people that he meets in our town here. I mean, everybody just loves Reese. And I think it's that way for most kids with Down syndrome. Everybody just loves
yeah.
those kids because there's so much joy about them. So, you know, when I was listening, I guess, you know, we've been doing this part of Reese's Rainbow for 2 years now, a little over 2 years. And in that short period of time, more than 90 children with Down syndrome and other special needs have found a forever family and been given a chance at life because of Reese.
Yeah.
And that's not honking his horn.
Right.
But just to say that is the power of God when he gives you a gift. I mean, Reese is a tool.
Right.
To use, you know, for the benefit of other people. And it's just incredible to me. And last week when the presidential candidates were speaking in the Faith Forum, I'm not sure whether you watched that or not, but it was hosted by Reverend Rick Warren out at Saddleback Church in California. And you know, one thing that Mr. McCain commented about that really resonated with me was about wanting people in America to be able to serve a purpose greater than themselves. And that really struck a chord with me because I feel like I'm trying to do that, and you know, by raising awareness about Reese's Rainbow, and there's so many wonderful organizations out there that do other things, you know, really meaningful things.
Right.
To get people involved, it's not just about asking them to adopt, because adoption is not for everyone, but to visit the website, find out all the different ways that you can make a difference. Even, you know, a small donation of $20 can really go a long way. So you can be involved and you can make a difference without actually adopting. So,
and
Reese's
Rainbow, like you mentioned earlier, is an international organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've heard many of times people ask, why not focus on Down syndrome kids in America? What inspired you to reach out to other countries?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I do get that question a lot. And, you know, some people have actually turned their heads and be like, well, we need to focus on our own kids here at home first. You know, what I see in the United States is a tremendous number of parent support groups, national support groups, advocacy, research, lobbyists for, laws for the disabled and rights for the disabled. And on top of that, I also see a growing number, without using the word a waiting list, but lots and lots of families who are paper ready, and what paper ready means is they have a completed home study, who are actually waiting and hoping to adopt a child born with Down syndrome in the U.S. And their reasons for wanting to adopt a child in the U.S. are not just because it's an American child. They may be limited by funds, lack of money to adopt internationally. They may not be able to travel for long periods of time because they already have other children at home. But they just love these children with Down syndrome. Either they have their own biological child with Down syndrome, or they felt called to adopt, multiple special needs. But they're, it's quite amazing. There's actually competition over them sometimes. I mean, people actually clamor to submit their home studies for consideration for children who are born with Down syndrome here in the U.S. And, with the prenatal termination rate of children with Down syndrome up near 90% now, there just aren't as many children with Downs being born now. It's really kind of a holocaust, in my opinion. And but in 2005, I ran across an organization that was providing humanitarian aid to orphanages in Ukraine. It was really quite by accident that I ran across this group. And I happened to see a child with Down syndrome in a few of the pictures on their website, and where I was just appalled at how sickly and frail that little boy looked. And I proceeded to ask more questions, and I learned the truth about the living conditions and the archaic institutionalization of these children in many countries, not just in Ukraine, but just pretty much everywhere other than here. They're still living in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And the economic situations abroad are so bad that most families, there's no services, there's no inclusion, there's no place for any of these children, Down syndrome or any other special need, in the societies of these countries abroad. And the economy is so bad that families can't even afford to keep their children, their healthy children, much less their kids with special needs. So they all end up in orphanages. Many children with Down syndrome are born with heart conditions, which most of those kids die before they turn five over there, because there just isn't adequate health care. There's no money to cover the cost for those surgeries, even if they could get it. Even the most basic of needs can't be met in a lot of these orphanages. There's just too many kids. And it's very much a survival of the fittest situation. There's not enough food. There's no clothing, diapers, medicine, toys. There's no love. There's certainly not enough caregivers to rock any of these kids to sleep. They all sleep in their own crib, and they hardly cry because they've learned that nobody's coming to pick them up. It's really hard for people here in the U.S. to relate to that.
Right.
But it still goes on every day overseas, and, obviously it's a tremendous problem that clearly can't be solved by one person alone. But, I felt like I had to do something. So I took on the role of coordinating the fundraising for one particular institution over there for children with special needs, and I did that for about a year. But my heart was still pulling me to do something specifically for children with Down syndrome. And, in my work with this other organization, I had made many friends and colleagues and connections, and I literally just woke up one morning and decided to fiddle around with FrontPage, which is a web design program for those who don't recognize that name. And I designed the beginnings of a website, and I toyed around with names and learned about incorporation and tax-deductible donations, and it's really just grown from there. I mean, I feel like I'm just an admin, really. I just answer emails most of the time. Reese's Rainbow has been shared by people like yourself and, you know, others who just want to raise awareness for the plight of these children overseas and just to help us raise awareness and adoptive families and seek out donations for those children.
And you started Reese's Rainbow, the outreach for the adoption in 2004?
Six. 2006. In June, yes, the adoption part of it started in 2006.
Wow. And mm-hmm. so in 2 years,
mm-hmm.
you've managed to get 90 kids adopted.
Yes, ma'am.
And how many kids are still on the waiting list?
Well, keep in mind that we certainly don't have access to every child with Downs who's out there waiting, but at this time we have over 100 children on our website in 24 countries, all with Down syndrome, who are waiting for adoptive families, but also for grant sponsors.
And finding the families is not the issue. You kind of touched on that earlier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is the biggest challenge?
The cost. I mean, I've got 100 kids on this website. I could probably place 100 children easily if it didn't cost $20,000 plus to adopt. And we have, you know, the majority of that cost is in travel, airfare, in-country accommodations, you know, food, things of that nature. You know, we have worked very closely and built some close relationships with many independent facilitators, attorneys, agencies to drastically reduce their fees. Some have even completely waived their fees. But it's still, from start to finish, usually about $20,000 to adopt even a child with special needs. And so that's what, you know, that's our biggest need, is just for folks out there who are listening, who just may be interested and really want to make a difference. You can actually visit our website and donate for a particular child. And even if it's $20, if it's $100, if it's $1,000, you get to watch that child find a family. That child will be marked, "My Forever Family Found Me," on the website. And then you get to watch that family's journey through their blog. And then at the end, you get to watch them be home, and their profile gets added to the homecomings page, which is just, it's such a personal and meaningful way to go about giving. You know, it's not like giving to a major corporation charity where you don't know where your $20 really goes. You get to choose the child or children that you want to sponsor. It's really been, that money goes so far, and that's why we've been able to place as many children as we have. Because people are donating even a little bit, and collectively it goes a really long way towards the costs of these international adoptions.
Wow. When I found out a lot of, through looking, researching online and hearing different stories of what's going on in other countries, I was devastated. I couldn't sleep. I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked because we're in a 2000s and stuff like this is still going on. So mm-hmm. I personally want to commend you. And also, I believe that what you're doing is a ministry / rescue mission. So I truly appreciate everything that you're doing. And I wanted to ask, how involved is your organization in the process?
I am actually involved in just about every aspect of everything that goes on with any of these adoptions. When a prospective family contacts me via email through the website, I'm the one that's helping them out with all of their initial information. I'm helping them choose the right child for them. I'm helping them get in touch with the agency who is actually the one who will be handling all the paperwork for them. But I hold their hand through the entire process, and we have a private Yahoo group which people can join. It's at the bottom of our website, the homepage. And it's really quite a remarkable family of families. And that support group continues to grow. So you're not, if a family is interested in adopting, they're not just talking to me, but they have, you know, 90-plus families in our Yahoo group, and more people who have not been able to adopt but who are just supporters, there to answer their questions and there to help them with their fears, because it's a big step to want to adopt. You know, it's a very maternal thing, but it's a big change to bring another child into your home.
Right.
So there's a, you know, so we're involved from the beginning, and there really isn't an end, because even after families are home, they're still very much involved in the ministry. They're still raising awareness. They're still donating on their own for additional children who are still waiting. You know, it's a long-term friendship and a family. And it's what's been surprising to me, well, not surprising, but interesting, is that many of the families who have adopted through us have actually come back and adopted a second or third child even. And just in this very short period of time, remember, we've only been doing this for 2 years, so we've had multiple children adopted in multiple trips. I mean, it's just been amazing. It's just been amazing. So,
which was the next question I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
How has this whole advocating experience been for you?
Life-changing and time-consuming. it's all good, though. I mean, I spend almost 70 hours a week.
Wow.
I'm available pretty much from 7 o'clock in the morning to about 10 o'clock at night online, available every day for people to send me emails, and I try to get back to them within a few hours at the longest. But it's, you know, it's all good. This is what God gave Reese to me to do, and so I do it, and I do it as a volunteer. There's no salary. Reese's Rainbow is totally volunteer, completely nonprofit. Every penny that people donate goes 100% to the child or the family that they're sponsoring. So there's nothing that comes off the top for salary or operational expenses or anything like that. So it's been, you know, I remember when Reese was born, and even in the first year or so after his birth, I remember telling my husband, I just don't want to be a flag waver. So much to that idea, right? So, God has different plans, you know, regardless of how you feel at one moment in your life.
Right.
He puts you where he needs you to be, and he helps you to feel comfortable in your heart to do that which he has tasked you with. So.
Wow. I truly, truly commend you.
Oh, thank you.
And if you could change... if you had the power to change anything in the world, what would that be?
That was a really loaded question. You want me to choose one thing? I think just ignorance and intolerance, and I have to put those two together. And not ignorance in just a bad way, just lack of knowledge, lack of exposure. You know, I'm hoping... obviously, you know, the main goal of Reese's Rainbow is, you know, the most immediate goal anyway, is to save the lives of these children that we know about overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that there are so many children waiting overseas is because those people do not have prenatal care.
Yeah.
Whereas here, where we have adequate prenatal care, our children are, you know, for lack of a better term, killed off. And it's out of fear. I mean, you know, I think every parent... you know, I mean, especially, you know, even myself, you know, we didn't know that Reese had Downs before he was born. But we often ask ourselves, you know, gosh, you know, I wonder how we would have felt if we had found out ahead of time.
Right.
You know, so we, you know, it's not that hard to put ourselves in the shoes of those parents who are choosing termination. But because we know better now, it's so offensive and it's so painful. And it's almost a slap in the face, even though these people don't know us individually. You know, that's just what it feels like. It's like,
right.
why would you do that? What's wrong with my child that you would kill yours or end yours? Okay. So, but the hope is that with all of these growing numbers of adoptions, with more awareness raising, that potential birth families in the future will know about it and will say, gosh, you know, people want more than one. What am I missing out on? And that it will really help to stem number of prenatal terminations, because people understand at least that there's something really, really good about these kids that people would want more than one
right
in their lives. So, you know, it's a definitely a long-term goal. You know, one thing I've had to learn through this, you know, I start with the anger and the devastation and the crying, just like you. I mean, you know, a lot of the people who are new to the organization are finding out what the reality is over, you know, overseas. They're just so, they're angry and they're fired up, and, you know, that's where you start. And then you have to pace yourself and build the endurance, because this is a long-term project.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's already making changes abroad. We're already building greater relationships with adoption officials in some of these other countries who are being more than accommodating for our families and helping them to get fast appointment dates for their travel. It really works. It's really changing things. And I just hope that your listeners are, even if they don't know anything about Down syndrome, if they've never known anybody with Down syndrome, you know, just visit the website and take a look at what we're doing and come be part of that positive change.
So how can people contact you to make a contribution or find out more information about you and the organization?
The best way to do that is to visit our website. We are primarily based there, and you can reach me through there. The web address is www.reesesrainbow.org. There's no apostrophe in there. It's all just one word.
Okay.
And all of my own contact information is clearly listed there, as well as a great deal of preliminary information about the international adoption process as a whole, what people can expect if they are even considering adopting, the financial part of it, home study part of it, the different country requirements, things of that nature. And then there's also there's a lot more that we do. It's not just the adoptions. We have urgent orphanage needs. You can sponsor a family who has already chosen a child and is in the process of adopting at this time. There's just so many different ways that people can help, and all of those links are right there on the homepage. Many people are turned off when the word adoption is mentioned. They just kind of tune out because they don't feel like, you know, this is the right time in their life, or whether that's just really something that they're called to do. And that's okay. That's totally okay, because it's not everybody is called to adopt.
Right.
But you can give.
Right.
You can give. $20 goes a long, long way in bringing a child out of a mental institution into a loving, supportive family. And, you know, with the Internet the way that it is today, and people have all their family blogs, I mean, you could literally sponsor a child today and watch that child grow for the next 20 years just by following that family's adoption blog. So it's really a pretty cool opportunity, and just lots of different ways that the people can help.
Andrea, thank you. I thank God for everything you're doing, and I really, really wish you much continued success in your ministry, because that's exactly what it is. It's a ministry, and I thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's just been a pleasure to meet you, and you're right here in town, so I hope we can get together sometime and visit and talk more about it. But I'm glad that we've been able to reach some more people here in the local Atlanta area and everywhere in the nation who might be listening. And I hope that I'm flooded with emails today with people interested in helping and giving and even adopting. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.